It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody within the sound of my voice listening all over North America. East Coast, West Coast, Down South, Midwest, Canada, Hawaii, Alaska. Thank you for being here. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He's not here in Atlanta with me. He is in New York City. And we got a lot to get into here over the next 3 hours. Of course, it's Wednesday. I'm going to be sharing with you a new top six list. And thank you so much, Jerry Jones, for the inspiration. I'm going to share with you a top six list of some of the craziest things that this man has ever said. You can bet your ass. Here's a preview. His nonsense yesterday about Michael Parsons and his agent. It's on the list. We'll get into that in an hour from now. Last hour, we talked about the greatness of Nikola Jokic, the greatness of Steph Curry, the great Alex Rodriguez, is soon to be an owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Who would have thought? You would have hit me up, I don't know, in 2021, be like, hey, A-Rod is going to own the Timberwolves. I go, what? Not Kevin Garnett? No, A-Rod. I'd be like, okay, whatever. Anyway, we got so much more to get into. Kansas City Chiefs are trying to own Christmas. Yeah, I don't, maybe they'll be the Grinch that stole Christmas. I have no idea. And speaking of baseball, oh, my God. Last night, yesterday, just terrible all over the place. Dodgers keep on rolling at a historic pace. Atlanta Braves are just, well, they suck. They're the only team right now in Major League Baseball that doesn't have a victory. We'll get into that in a second. How about this? In about 20 minutes from now, I did mention to you the greatness of Nikola Jokic. We're going to be joined by Matt Moore from the Action Network. And Nikola Jokic, I highly doubt that he wins MVP. I feel like the Nuggets are not no fault of their own. It costs to keep people like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I feel like Jokic is having a wasted season. He ain't winning no title. And we'll talk to Matt in about 20 minutes from now. Yeah, you want to call me? You could do that too. The phone number here at the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. All the great basketball going on in the NBA. Jokic going off. Curry going off. I mentioned the fact that we have to wait until Saturday before we see the college basketball players going off. The Final Four down in San Antonio, Texas. But one thing that's already underway. The Major League Baseball season. And there's not one team that got things started earlier than anybody. At least with the success rate. Than the Los Angeles Dodgers. They had to leave spring training, fly to Japan, beat up on some of the Japanese teams, beat up on the Cubs, fly back to finish spring training, and the Dodgers have already started the season in between Japan and the United States of America with a 7-0 record. And for all my Braves fans here with me in the South in Atlanta, Georgia, the Braves, unfortunately, right now, they are they're the opposite of the Braves, who are undefeated. Or, excuse me, the Dodgers. The Dodgers are 7-0. The Braves are 0-6. And unfortunately, last night, they had to face the Dodgers again. And they took another L again. The Braves lost 3-1. And things aren't even clicking all the way for the Dodgers. Sasaki hasn't popped yet. What a shock and surprise, right? He's just getting used to pitching in America. You got Freddie Freeman who slipped in the shower somehow, some way. He already has 2 home runs and 4 RBIs. A Mookie Betts. This guy had a stomach bug and lost a lot of weight. He just got sick. I guess it's that time of year. A lot of people are sick right now. Yeah, a lot of people are sick. And somehow, some way, the Dodgers, they got the best start by a defending champ in almost 100 years. We haven't seen a start like this in baseball. 7-0 by a defending champ since the New York Yankees did it in 1933, starting their season 7-0. The Dodgers tonight, they have another chance to beat up on the Atlanta Braves. The Dodgers can improve their record to 8-0. The Braves, they can fall to 0-8. Acuna, where they getting these ACLs from? Like, at one point after you tear your ACL, they just stitch it back together? When do they got to go find another one? I don't know. Both his knees have been cooked. You got Ronaldo Lopez. This guy's going to be out a couple of months now. Had an all-star season last year for the Braves. They got injuries all over the place. They just signed Jerickson Profar from San Diego, who just had his best season out in San Diego. I think about 24 home runs and 90 RBIs. He's gone. Half of the season and the postseason, if the Braves can make it, due to performance-enhancing drug use. He was using some stuff to be better at hitting that baseball, or at least being available to hit the baseball. And so we don't know where the Braves are going. But I know the Dodgers, they're going up and up and up. And Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, he says, man, it feels good to be 7-0.
Obviously, the hoopla with opening week, playing two really good ball clubs, two Cy Young winners. So all that stuff, it's tough to win, a handful of ball games, let alone win all of them.
Oh, that's easy for them to say, right? It is. I mean, and that's Dave Roberts being humble, because he's the manager. He's the coach. He's not going to say anything outlandish. He's not going to rock the boat. He's not going to cause issues. He's not going to say anything controversial. Different for a player, right? Miguel Rojas, back in February, he made a bold statement. He says, you know what? I don't care who won 116 games. The Mariners and the Cubs hold that record. He said, we can win 120 games.
You throw those guys out there, you win 120 games.
You think you guys can win 100? You think you can win 120 games?
With that roster?
Wow. Miggy, that's a lot.
I know it's a lot, but with that roster, you're supposed to go out there and win, you know?
So do you think that's a goal of you? I know you guys, you want to win the World Series. You don't care how you get there. If you win 98 games or you win 111, it doesn't matter to you. I understand that. But don't you think that you guys, if you have a chance to set the single season record, that that's a goal for this team?
I don't think it's a goal. It's an expectation.
Oh, damn. The expectation is to win every game, right? You're not going to do that. This is the same Miguel Rojas, by the way, who allegedly treated Jazz Chisholm like crap when he played for the Marlins. And take what he says with a grain of salt. I don't need to hear from Miguel Rojas to know that the Dodgers are likely on their way to another World Series. Hickey, am I delusional? I mentioned this the other day, and every time I mention a number, I'm like, am I right? This is ridiculous. Their payroll is like, what, $400 million?
Yeah, four bills. And that's what's crazy is the fact that Shohei Ohtani makes up, what, $2 million of that?
Yeah, because his money's deferred.
That's the insane part. $400 million with the best player making $2 million a year. Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's going to make $2 million for the next, 8 years? And then after that, they just going to start paying him like $68 million every year? I don't know.
Not a bad life for Shohei.
Right.
Is that a lump sum, you think, every year? Just one check comes in the mail?
Does it matter?
No, it does not matter.
I heard the average salary of a Major League Baseball player right now is $5 million. I can learn how to bunt. I can do that. You good at laying down a bunt?
Bunt, I could be in for defense.
Yeah.
Steal a base.
Look, I watched, I don't know who the Brewers played. I watched it earlier today, this afternoon. I saw they won on a sacrifice bunt. I'm like, if he can do it, I can do that too.
Square around and just meet the ball. That's it.
Yeah, now with the torpedo bat, I could send that bunt straight down the first baseline. I push everybody home. Yeah. Well, no, I'd do it the other way, Hickey. Suicide squeeze every play. Man on third, I got this. Suicide squeeze. Easy.
I like it. Easy peasy.
Yeah, it is. Well, the Dodgers are winning. There's the team here in Atlanta. They could certainly learn how to suicide squeeze, hit a bunt. At this point, maybe the Braves, I know you can't do it. They need to start leaning into pitches. They need to get on base any way possible. The Atlanta Braves have a record of 0-6. They are the only team in Major League Baseball that has zero wins. I told you the Dodgers beat them last night 3-1. They got the Dodgers again today with a replacement, Bryce Elder, on the mound because Ronaldo Lopez is out for a few months with a shoulder issue. Blake Snell, Mr. Cy Young, is on the mound. I guess everybody on the Dodgers is capable of being Mr. Cy Young. And the Braves, they come back here on Friday. They got a travel day tomorrow leaving Los Angeles, and they will come back here with little to no enthusiasm. Let's put it that way. Things suck right now for the Braves. And their nice guy manager, very nice guy, Brian Snitker, he told us the obvious. He says, the season sucks so far.
It's just one of the things you have to go through in the game. I hate it for the guys and the team and everything, but it's just part of it. You have to handle it and fight your way through it.
Yeah, what's that man going to say? He can't say nothing. We suck right now. He's like, oh, we suck. Everybody's hurt. What do you want from me? You can't stay at the top forever. At least the Braves, they won their World Series a couple seasons ago. We had a parade. Hickey, did you see the parade that the Braves had?
Hickey, tuned it out.
Well, let me tell you something. I didn't see the parade either. It went right by my house. That thing went. They had buses. These buses were going like 50 miles per hour on the streets to get to the stadium.
Blame Khan. They're gone.
Yeah, they did. They started off in the city, and they put the buses on a highway to finish up at the stadium, which is in the burbs. They didn't give a damn about none of us city people. They didn't care.
Wow.
They were like, oh, we're on a city street. We're downtown. We're in the city. 50 miles per hour. You couldn't wave. The buses just zoomed down the street, got on the highway, and finished at the stadium. They didn't care about us.
Wow, that's hell of a way to celebrate, I guess.
Yeah, they were zooming down the street.
Blinking, it's over.
You did. Who cares? They moved the team out of the city. They didn't care about us anymore.
It's a hell of a hike.
What, to the stadium?
Yeah, I'm saying if they're driving the buses all the way out there, oof.
Nah, it's 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. It's
not bad. Come on, police escort too, no cars?
That's true. That's good. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, easy. It takes me 15 minutes to get to the stadium. That's with cars on the road, you know?
Okay. So, but still, I mean, the thought of wanting to celebrate with fans, and it's kind of like a drive-by of, oh, you're blinking, now it's gone, and you're not at the stadium, basically miss it all.
Yes, maybe it's a little bit of karma, huh?
Oh.
I don't know.
You said it.
Maybe if the Braves stayed in the city, they'd still be winning again. But what do I know? Anyway, speaking of winning, even though they lost the Super Bowl this year, the Kansas City Chiefs, when you're winning, when you're at the top, you get to call your shots. We shared with you yesterday that the NFL is going to have 3 Christmas games this year, 2 on Amazon. Oh, excuse me, 2 on Netflix and 1 on Amazon. Last year, we saw what the Kansas City Chiefs did. They went out there and beat the Steelers on Christmas. It's been reported that the Kansas City Chiefs want to own Christmas. They want to be scheduled every single Christmas the same way that the Lions own Thanksgiving, the Cowboys own Thanksgiving. The Kansas City Chiefs, they want to be branded as, I guess, a Christmas institution. And I think they might get their wish because, let's be real, Patrick Mahomes he's must-see TV. That game between the Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs, it averaged 24 million viewers. On Christmas, people are opening up gifts. They're having dinner with their families. They're outside eating. I don't know what they're doing. But people want to see Patrick Mahomes. We know that. Someone who may not be all that enthusiastic about these Chiefs games on Christmas. It's Chris Jones, because in December he said, yeah, Christmas Day games, it's good and it's bad.
That's the pros and cons of being a good team. You know what I mean? You get these type of games, you get these off-schedule games, and it's a gift and a curse because, you know, you have a good team, you want to get these games. But then again, you kind of want to get your rest. So it's like a catch-22, but we're definitely up for the challenge, looking forward to it, and we're excited about it.
Man, I got getting like $30 million a year. Is it going to pain you to work on Christmas? There's no cons on working for Christmas, okay? Get me $30 million a year. I'll show up for every holiday, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to have a chat with someone about a guy who I don't think he cares about holidays. I don't think he cares about American holidays. This guy just shows up. He plays basketball. And he leaves. We're going to talk about Nikola Jokic. We're going to have a conversation with Matt Moore, who covers all things Nuggets basketball for the Action Network. Because Nikola Jokic, 60-point triple-double. Is he winning the MVP? Is he not? We'll get into all of that with Matt on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The NBA season is almost over. And last night, while we got a little bit of a pause on the way to the Final Four, we had two NBA superstars who decided to go out there and light it up. Steph Curry, 52 points. Nikola Jokic, a 60-point, a triple-double. Unfortunately for Nikola, it was in a loss. He's been in the hunt for another MVP. It's probably going to go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If he wasn't on the Denver Nuggets, this team would be in the lottery. What does this mean for Nikola Jokic? What does this mean for the Nuggets the rest of this season? What does this mean for their future? How can they build back up? It's so many questions. It's time to have a conversation about the Nuggets, about the league, about Jokic right now with Matt Moore, who covers all things Denver Nuggets for the Action Network. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We saw what took place last night for Nikola Jokic. Just kind of shrugged it off like he shrugs off everything. When you take a look at the team in a whole, he puts up these amazing performances, whether a Murray or Porter is or is not playing. What is the height that this team can reach besides just making the playoffs? Is that pretty much the expectation this year?
No, I mean, they've got championship expectations. I think they're going to probably fall short because of the defense. But, you know, they still believe that they've got the core of a championship team, given that they still got Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and, of course, Jokic. So they are, you know, very much of the belief that, like, look, they've had stretches where they can defend. They've had games. They've had quarters. And if they can get to just a little bit longer, a level higher in the playoffs, they'll be able to compete for a championship. Now, their defense has not been good enough. But there is kind of the argument of, like, look, one of the adages in playoff basketball is the team with the best player wins. And they're going to have the best player just about any series. And that gives them some confidence that they can pull this off and go for a second title.
Without a shadow of a doubt, that could certainly be their expectation. And I don't think too many people would argue that Jokic is the best player in the game. What is your expectation?
My expectation is probably a second-round exit. I think they can get past the first round. Depends on who the matchup is. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going home in the first round because that team has their number and matches up perfectly against them. But if it's not the Wolves, they've got a good chance of getting out of the first round, but their defense just isn't good enough this season. They need some tactical adjustments. They need some personnel adjustments. They don't have what it takes to really be able to play the level of defense they're going to need. And without that, there's no way that for them to really be able to go four rounds and win a championship. Would not surprise me if they made the conference finals. And also, it wouldn't surprise me much if they made the finals because of how good Jokic is if they get the right matchups. But there's no way they get past any of the teams that are coming out of the East, Cleveland or Boston, with the defense that they have.
Matt Moore is here with us, covers the Denver Nuggets for the Action Network. You talk about the teams, some of the teams that they'd have to go through if they wanted to advance. You had mentioned the Minnesota Timberwolves, who beat them last night in a very dramatic fashion. We know the Oklahoma City Thunder are expected to kind of have a waltz to the NBA Finals representing the West. A lot has been said about Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think it's pretty much a given, just based on how past history has been served when it comes to the MVP award, that Shai Gilgeous is going to win outright when it comes to MVP. Do you think Jokic has a chance, or is it too much bias against him?
I think there's probably a chance of it. You know, there's been a kind of surprising to me. The straw poll came out today, and it did kind of indicate that it's still Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's to win. But I do think when we get down to actually casting the ballot, there's probably going to be some discrepancy because of the fact that, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has not had a deep playoff run, made the second round last year. Without great in both rounds last year, but without a deep playoff run, there has kind of been a history of resistance to him. And we've got Jokic having won a championship and having one of his best season. It's going to be a hard one, I think, for voters to get around, is the fact of, okay, we've given this guy three MVP awards. This is his best season. How does he not win MVP if this is the best season of a guy that won three? I think Shea's very deserving. I think Shea's absolutely incredible, but I do think that this might wind up being a lot closer maybe than it looks right now.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you take a look at what might move forward for these Nuggets. We've seen some of their key players that helped win the championship. They're gone. KCP down in Orlando. What can this squad do to maximize a superstar, one of the best ever in his age 30 season going into the future? What can they do?
It's going to take some very difficult decisions. They built this roster on the previous CBA, and the limitations of the new CBA have really put the clamps on them. So I think you can expect to see at least one starter, Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray, traded this summer in order to provide them with more options. And then from there, you know, they're going to need to put better defensive personnel around Jokic. They elevated Christian Brown, and Brown's been incredible this year. He's the most improved player candidate. He's been terrific for them offensively, but defensively hasn't been able to make the kind of impact that KCP did alongside those other guys. Their best team was when they had Bruce Brown, KCP, and Aaron Gordon as a great defensive kind of trio to be able to give them always a number of plus defenders on the floor. Without them able to do that, they're having a hard time next to Jokic. So they're going to need to go and revamp the team to add some more defense and shooting this summer, because they're one of the teams that is always facing an uphill battle, even with an elite offense, because of the fact that they don't take enough threes.
Matt Morris here with us, covers all things NBA, not just Nuggets for the Action Network. You think about a team that did make an adjustment. They did it in season. It's the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry putting up 52 points last night. Jimmy Butler has certainly had a positive impact on that team. What do you think they're going to go? Are they too small? Are they still going to have a shot? What are your thoughts on the Warriors?
They're interesting. I'm trying to get kind of a feel for where they're at in terms of the hierarchy in the NBA. I think when you look at, they've beaten a lot of teams, but they haven't necessarily faced off against top-level teams at full strength. So the question is going to be, when they get into a playoff series, are they kind of solvable? Curry is playing some of the best basketball he has since the championship season. Draymond's been playing great defense, and Jimmy's obviously re-engaged. But if you have a lot of holes, and they're relying on a lot of unproven guys to give them major minutes, and I wonder what that looks like in a playoff series. I think they're likely to have issues against both small and big lineup. So I'm a little skeptical of how far the Warriors can go.
When you think about the Oklahoma City Thunder, obviously they're now 60-plus wins. They're sitting at the top of the West. A full expectation that they represent the West. Do you hold that to be true?
I mean, they've got to be the favorite by a wide margin. They've been so incredible this season. One of the best point differential. They're on pace with the best point differential in NBA history. That's wild. That's absolutely incredible. There are questions. I've talked to people around the league who have asked, like, okay, but, you know, don't have guys that I consider to be lockdown shooters. What does that look like when they get into a playoff series? Questions about things like, all right, you know, Lou Dort, Chet Holmgren in particular, J-Dub as another kind of option. Is he good enough to be a second option in the playoff series? That unproven experience factor, it's hard to figure out whether that's overrated or underrated. As far as whether that's going to be a limitation on them. I think that they are absolutely talented enough, well-coached enough, and Shea is good enough. But I do think that they're going to face adversity, and they haven't had that happen all season. We'll see what happens when things get difficult for them in a playoff setting when the playoffs come.
Matt, we got one team that had big expectations, and they just suck. The injuries and trade requests and declines, and they're just bad. For the Phoenix Suns, we heard and learned that Kevin Durant, he had a lot of inquiries into where he might end up just in this season. He declined, obviously, going out to Golden State. Where do you think Kevin Durant is most likely to end up this summer?
You know, there's kind of some talk now about maybe he's going to stay. I think no one really knows what Durant wants, and that's been hard to figure out the entire time as far as what he's looking for from Brooklyn to Suns, and then this situation here. There's a lot of conversation that Mike Budenholzer might be let go this summer. That would be their fourth coach, their third coach let go in 3 years. It would be absolutely wild. I think there's probably big questions that have to be answered with the Suns. And no one really knows what Durant wants. If he does leave, I think you have to expect him to go to either Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers, one of those teams in a major market, because that does seem to be the type of city that he wants to play in.
Oh, my goodness. Matt Morris joining us from the Action Network. The Los Angeles Lakers, could they bring him on given his salary?
I would say that depending on what happens this summer, given if the Lakers can get under the second apron, if the Suns can get under the second apron, if they can find some salary relief, there are mechanisms to make it happen. Now, I think everyone's kind of skeptical. Everyone assumes LeBron's saying he's made it clear he wants to stay in LA to finish his career, but if that changes for whatever reason, then you do kind of start to wonder what the next steps are going to be. So all I know is that the Lakers, after trading for Luka Doncic, you can't ever really rule them out.
Wow, the Los Angeles Lakers always out there hunting for stars. We've done a lot of talk about the West. I know you're out in Colorado. When it comes down to the East, it's kind of one big shrug. It's like, is Cleveland going to be able to match the Celtics? And if the Celtics are healthy, it's a tough answer there. I think I'm going with the Celtics all the way. What are your thoughts on who's going to represent the East?
Yeah, I'm with the Celtics. I'm with you on the Celtics. I just think that you have to be able to show that you can slow down the amount of threes that Boston shoots. That really is a secret to them. It's nothing complicated. Jason Tatum's awesome. He's incredible. He's on my MVP list this year for top five. Had him in the straw poll this week. But their real answer is just they don't let you shoot threes. They take a lot of threes. And if you can get past that, then you're live. But no one's really been able to prove they can do that. Now, the Cavaliers did it in the second half of their final match of the season. They split that season series 2-2. And the reason the Cavs were able to come back in that game and win was because they held the Celtics to 13 three-point attempts in the second half. If they're able to do that in the series, they're going to be live to actually win this thing. They can do this. But that's what's required of them, is they're going to have to figure out ways to take away the biggest advantage the Celtics have, which is their three-point barrage and how they beat you with the math game.
We'll see about that. I'm certainly looking at the an NBA Finals between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Celtics, and we just got to get through the rest of these other teams to see who's going to go ahead and fall off. Is there a team that you look at and go, hey, nobody talks about them, but they have an opportunity?
Minnesota Timberwolves are dangerous. They've given the Thunder problems. They've got the size. You saw what they can do on the road, even against a 60-point triple-double last night. Anthony Edwards is obviously one of those guys who can step up in the playoffs and have huge performances. Saw that last year. They've got a lot of things going for them. They have figured out how to make the combination with Julius Randle work. They have figured out how to get the best out of their lineup. They've got everybody playing well, and they are extremely well coached. So I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are actually a team that it would not shock me if they returned to the Western Conference Finals and made a real run at the NBA title.
Okay. Well, joining us here is Matt Moore from the Action Network. Matt, I want to thank you for the time and for your insights. Where can people follow you and all of your work, whether it be with the Nuggets, the NBA, and Hole? Fill us in.
Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at HP Basketball. I've got a Substack. I'm at the Action Network. You can also catch me on the Locked On NBA podcast every day and on Locked On Nuggets every night.
Hey, well, thank you, Matt. All the best the rest of the way. We're at the end of the season. Let's see who comes out on top, okay?
All right. Thanks, man.
No doubt about it. That Matt Moore covers all things NBA and Nuggets for the Action Network. It's real. It's real cut and dry, folks. We know when we get down to the NBA playoffs, injuries are likely. Guys can get hurt. People can go down. I'd be surprised if we don't get the Boston Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder, with the Boston Celtics repeating as champs. They're just too deep. They got too many scorers. They're too big. They're ridiculous. Boston Celtics have just taken an entire cakewalk throughout the entire season. It's like, who cares? Let's just warm up. Let's just try to be healthy. And Kristaps Porzingis, hey, sit down for a minute. We need you when the games actually matter in June. Boston Celtics are ridiculous. I don't see anybody stopping them if they're healthy. Health is always the name of the game. Let's see what happens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. 4ISN. Matt had some interesting thoughts on where Kevin Durant might end up in this offseason. Even mentioned the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm like, huh? Well, apparently there's some words about some other teams that have been interested in Kevin Durant. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. Speaking of high scorers, big-time scorers, Carmelo Anthony. We got a new destination for him. I'm going to tell you where Carmelo is going to end up. And at the top of the hour, I know what we're going to do, where we're going to end up. We're going to end up discussing a new top six list. Some of the craziest things that Jerry Jones has ever uttered out of his mouth. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Matt Moore for joining us from the Action Network to talk some Denver Nuggets basketball, to talk some NBA basketball. And the voice that you just heard, Carmelo Anthony, obviously a I guess he's a Denver Nuggets legend. You can call him that, right? I guess, right? I know what he is about to be. I'll tell you that in a second. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from their professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. A big shout out to Carmelo Anthony. And thank you again to Matt Moore for joining us in the last break to talk all things NBA. And earlier today, congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. Hisham Charania was on the Pat McAfee show, and he had a great report that I'm sure was music to Carmelo Anthony's ears. Listen.
Carmelo Anthony has been notified. He has been elected into the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025. He's the landmark player, the big name player here for this Hall of Fame class, and 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA team, what? The 10th leading scorer of all time in NBA history. We know how great he was with the New York Knicks, the Denver Nuggets. What? He had late runs with the Thunder, the Portland Trailblazers, and finished his career with the Lakers. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we got all these dumbass discussions about guys like Paul George getting in the Hall of Fame, you don't hold a candle to what Carmelo Anthony accomplished, not just from what he did from a college level, at the college level, winning a national championship with Syracuse in 2003 as a freshman, something that we might see Cooper Flagg do. Carmelo Anthony just scored. That guy just went out there and got buckets. People wanted to give him crap about his defense, and he's not LeBron James. That's a tough comparison to make when you come out in the same draft class. Carmelo Anthony was a great scorer. What the hell you want from him? Great scorer, great rebounder, and let's also be honest. You want to win a championship? What was the best team that he was on? Who was his best teammate? Outside of playing with LeBron James at the end of his career, I don't even know. Hickey, who was his best teammate? Old Chauncey Billups, old Kenyon Martin? I don't know.
Amari?
Oh, broken down Amari Stoudemire? Old Tyson Allen Iverson? It's, oh, crap, Tyson Chandler, oh my God. Old Allen Iverson? Like, people give Carmelo crap because he wasn't LeBron. LeBron James was playing with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And we know what LeBron, there's only one LeBron, so just give us a break about him going to the finals as a kid. Carmelo Anthony never played with another killer like that in his prime. And it would have been Amari, but he was broken, you know?
No, you're right. I mean, that's I guess I never thought about that aspect. You're fair in saying that he's never had good teammates. I'd also counter with his maybe style of play didn't exactly lend itself to having star players want to play with him?
I don't know about that. Like, Amari Stoudemire was already in New York.
Right.
We knew he was on borrowed time. What was he going to do? And at the same time, in that time, in that era, like, who and what were the star players that were going to move? Like, Carmelo Anthony was kind of older. Like, you think about his career coming out in 2003. His career ended in 2022. Like, think about that. Carmelo Anthony's career spanned 20 years. I know that sounds nuts, but it did. He came out in 2003. wasn't drafted by the Detroit Pistons because they took what's that giant man who's now a farmer? Darko Milicic. He ends up on the Denver Nuggets. Young guy. And can score all he wants. You got LeBron James, who had his prime a couple of years later. He ends up moving to Miami to pair with Dwayne Wade and Bosch. And Carmelo eventually says, I'll go to New York. New York is cash strapped. He goes to a team that has Amari Stoudemire. And that was pretty much all she wrote after that. Then after that, he became a vagabond. So I don't even know if it's fair to say his style of play. Because, like, Kevin Durant ended up going to the Warriors. And why wouldn't he? And at that point, Carmelo Anthony was basically one foot out the door already. I don't know. I think Carmelo gets a bad rap sometimes when people look at his career accomplishments. A, because he came out of the same draft as LeBron. And then he's just a scorer. What do you want from him? Like, he's not Dwayne Wade. I'm sorry he didn't just also play defense and just fly through the sky. So good for Carmelo. He did have one of the greatest basketball careers of all time. Also, when you include his three gold medals, of which I think Kevin Durant just passed him with four of them suckers. And Carmelo is a good dude. Congratulations to Carmelo Anthony. They're going to parade him around out in San Antonio, officially announce him as going into the Naismith Hall of Fame. And Carmelo is a real good dude. Good for him. And then also, I just mentioned Kevin Durant. We discussed this a little bit with Matt Moore as well. There's so many conversations about where Kevin Durant is going to end up. What are you, 36, 37 years old right now? Still dropping 27 points a game. Still one of the best scorers in the entire NBA. Is still one of the most efficient players. Unfortunately, he's out right now with an ankle sprain, and it sucks for him. The Suns have a record of 35-41. They're miserable. Bradley Beal, never see him playing. Devin Booker's just like, all right, I'll just shoot and score all the points. And Durant has to be like, man, I left Brooklyn for this crap. Shams also had some words on Pat McAfee about where Durant might end up based on some of the teams that wanted him.
There's going to be changes coming to Phoenix, barring a miracle finish to the year. There's going to be a lot that they're going to have to look at to evaluate throughout the organization. But from a roster perspective, that's going to start with Kevin Durant and potentially finding him a new home. Unlike at the trade deadline when he was almost traded to the Warriors, the Suns, Kevin Durant, they would work together on any trade. But I can tell you guys this. Back at the NBA trade deadline, there were a list of teams that there was mutual interest with Kevin Durant and those teams, from my understanding. And that's Minnesota, that's New York, that's Houston, San Antonio, Miami.
Okay.
Those are the types of teams, Houston, from my understanding, that had interest then. And I expect them all to be in the mix this offseason.
All right. Kevin Durant going to another team. What a world. You already said no to the Golden State Warriors, said he didn't want to make the move in season. Okay, whatever. His story at the end is just going to be, I don't want to call it sad, but it really sucks when you're a star and you're just going from team to team to team. Like Carmelo, I just discussed. This guy went from Denver to New York, ended up in Oklahoma City, then ended up in Houston, was in Portland, the Lakers. Like, what does anybody remember about Carmelo in L.A.? Nothing, man. Come on. Kevin Durant is still amazing. Hickey, I want to see one of these legends has to end up with another title. Or maybe not, right? LeBron, Durant, Curry. It's realistic. There's a chance that they could get a title. There's a chance that they may not. Certainly not as like the lead and the star player, though.
I mean, LeBron still can. I mean, going back to what Matt Moore said, if they somehow acquire Kevin Durant and you have that three-headed monster, I think still it's...
Yeah, but I think any team, if LeBron wins a title again on the Lakers, Luka's going to be the driving factor, I think.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, fine. Then you're probably right. But, I mean, at that point, do you mind? Like, if you're LeBron and you're 1A, if you're...
Well, you want it that way.
If you're KD, I mean, he obviously has no problem being 1A or B. Ring's a ring.
Touche. Yeah, it is. I'm not disputing the credibility of said ring. It's just I want to see one of these old dudes. It's crazy to say. And I want to see one of these old guys win another ring. I'd love to see Steph Curry win a ring, but not Jimmy Butler, which is, I guess I'm kind of screwed in that regard. No rings for Jimmy Butler. I'm about sick of that guy. But I think the Golden State Warriors are too short anyway. Jimmy Butler is too injury prone. I can't wait for him to throw a fit. Maybe it'll come at some point next year. I think LeBron is best situated to win a championship, not knowing where Kevin Durant is going to end up. So we'll see what happens. This is why they go out there and they play the games. But congratulations to Carmelo Anthony on his way to the Naismith Hall of Fame. And, you know, his boy plays basketball, too. Going to be playing at Syracuse. So maybe we'll see another Anthony out there getting buckets. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, Carmelo Anthony, that man knew how to get buckets. We're going to talk about an individual that all he knows how to do is put his foot in his mouth. His name is Jerry Jones. He put his foot in his mouth yesterday, and that inspired today's top six list. I'm going to give you a top six list of some of the wildest things that Jerry Jones has ever said. Oh, there are plenty. Let's have a ball. Let's have a blast. Let's have some fun on the other side. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.